Blog Talk Radio.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.
The collard green recipe is fantastic, and it calls for uncured turkey bacon. And I have never cooked collards for quite that long. I didn't know that it's good to cook greens for a long time because it breaks the molecular bonds, and the food, the oxalates become more digestible, and the recipe has you to cook the greens for about an hour and a quarter. And my family loves the greens.
Once the diseases are cured at the cellular level, we are able to prevent new diseases from occurring.
This message is for those people out there that they need hope and they need a resolution for their sickness. Symptometry is the solution.
Yes, this is a total health system. I have trained under other people, and they only gave me partial answers.
My family tends to suffer with plaque buildup on our teeth, and we have to go in regularly to fight off gingivitis. And it doesn't matter how much you floss, it just doesn't help. But just by using the yogurt blend, when I just went into my doctor's visit, my dental visit last week, she was amazed by the results. I mean, it was great. The plaque buildup was just minimized significantly.
Once we have prevented new diseases from occurring, then mankind will have a chance to live in a disease-free body. This is what we all want. We all want to live in a disease-free body, so that we will be happy all the time.
Go deep at the root cause of your sickness, of your disease. And Dr. Naughty is an awesome man.
My name is Michelle Mitchell, and I just love being here for Symptometry. I got to actually meet Dr. Naughty, and just learning all the information that we learned today was really fulfilling, and I am definitely going to work towards becoming a student.
I would encourage anyone who would like to learn how to learn about solutions and not just live in a situation to come call Symptometry. Come to a symposium, and guess what? You can be like I am, more enlightened, because the more I learn how to do that will support me, the better off I will become.
This was a very awakening moment. We're just enjoying ourselves and feel very enlightened by all the information that we received, and I'm looking forward to purchasing a few of the books so I can continue on the Symptometry path.
What we have to do now is to establish the gateway to happiness by removing all diseases from the human body. It is as simple as that.
He talked to me for 2 hours, and his compassion, his care, the care that he have for people, I never saw to anybody, the love for people. And I was so impressed. I was so impressed.
Hi, my name is Lori. This is my first symposium. I enjoyed it immensely. I'm also a student at the American School of Symptometry. I would encourage everybody to participate in either the 6-month program or to study to become a symptometrist, because curing is proving. We're learning how. We want to spread the word. We need your help.
Symptometry has really helped me with dental problems. Before, I would wake up and my teeth were starting to cross in front. And the more citrus I was eating, the worse it would get. So it's been able to stop that. I stopped having dental pain and the actual teeth itself. And bad breath went away. No bad breath.
And the best way to go about it is to go to the American School of Symptometry, where we teach cosmic or atomic science, where we teach cell nourishment, so that every cell and every tissue in the human body is well nourished.
But I'm so excited because we find help in Symptometry, and we are grateful that we find this help. And I hope you'll call Symptometry, and you're gonna find out that for anything that you have, there is a solution, and Dr. Naughty knows how to help you.
Well, good evening, good evening, great evening. Welcome to another live broadcast of Root Cause Radio. My name is Bella Marie. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you tonight. Root Cause Radio is proudly serving, sharing the secrets of optimal health. We're actually honored to be the premier resource for family caregivers. For those of you who are new to the broadcast, I want to share with you that Root Cause Radio is sponsored by the American School of Symptometry, the teaching and training arm of Symptometry Root Cause Therapeutics. And Root Cause Therapeutics, Symptometry, is the only applied therapeutic science that focuses on eliminating disease at the cellular, genetic, and DNA levels. You can actually get a private health consultation by calling Symptometry Headquarters, 708-691-4977. However, we are connected with the school, the American School of Symptometry, to assist in sharing information and teaching the techniques that help people enjoy healthy longevity, that help people practice successful disease prevention. So we're delighted to have each and every one of you with us here tonight. Our topic for today is fasting best practices. Exactly right. We're going to help you jumpstart your health. There's been a lot of buzz about using fasting as a tool for fighting inflammation, boosting your metabolism, losing weight, of course, and we have the perfect guest to help us with that tonight. However, many of you may be familiar with fasting for spiritual purposes or religious purposes, right? That's how I first learned about fasting, denying the body food and sometimes even water to strengthen our mental focus and our spiritual connection as well. So I'm not sure if scientists were studying the people who were fasting for religious benefits and spiritual benefits and they discovered all these additional health benefits as well, or exactly how the connection came about, but this is a very, very important topic, not just a popular trending topic, but an important one because this is yet another tool that you can use to support your health journey. So just some quick information and some supporting facts and resources for you too. If you happen to miss something in this podcast, if you want to hear it again, go ahead and save rootcauseradio.com in your favorites. Again, that broadcast, that website is www.rootcauseradio.com. That is where our podcasts are, ladies and gentlemen, that share the information for you. Wow, we've had so many shows. You know, of course, World Sickle Cell Day, Sickle Cell Awareness Day is June 19th. We do have that podcast on supporting and helping those battling sickle cell anemia. On the website, there have been shows about hair regrowth, weight loss specifically. We've covered and offered support tools for so many of the different kinds of cancers that develop. So you want to go ahead and save that website, rootcauseradio.com, in your favorites, not just if you are missing information for tonight, but also to take advantage of the other information that's already on there. The American School of Symptometry does have e-courses, online programs available online as well, and there's a link connecting to that at rootcauseradio.com. And, of course, if you are part of the health community and you have an area of focus and you would like to share some resources with our network of family caregivers, you can, of course, use the contact us information on that page. If you have a question, if you are desiring a particular show topic, again, use the contact us option at rootcauseradio.com. Take advantage of the videos with recipes. Take advantage of the past podcasts. And, of course, interact and engage with us as well. We love hearing from you. And we're excited. We're excited to be taking care of tonight's show and sharing the powerful information that we have for you. Now, again, I told you we had the perfect guest, the ideal guest to share on tonight's topic with us, and we will not be disappointed. He is actually the founder of Symptometry and the founder of American School, the American School of Symptometry. He became interested in natural health after his own health journey with traditional Western medicine came to a dead end, and we are so glad that he persisted and did those, not just got solutions for himself, but also did an additional 14-plus years of research to make root cause therapeutics available to the world, So humans and other animals often instinctively avoid food and beverages when sick. An intentional period of avoiding calorie-containing beverages and food, even, is known as fasting. Science shows it has many benefits. Without further ado, we are delighted to welcome Dr. Maxwell Narte, founder of Symptometry, founder of the American School of Symptometry, to tonight's Root Cause Radio podcast. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for inviting me. It has been a long time. My God, more than what, 8 months or 1 year almost? And I'm glad to be back.
Well, it's definitely a pleasure to have you back with us, despite everything that you have going on with your schedule. So yeah, we had some great questions sent in, too, and thank you for taking the time to join us so we can tackle them together.
All right. I'm here. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, so let's go ahead and start with the top one, because studies show that, fasting for a day, like just water only, may help, and they say may in quotation marks, right, may help reduce the risk of diabetes. Longer periods of fasting, 2 days, 4 days, even help the immune system clear out old cells and regenerate new ones. Before you came on, I mentioned that a lot of people fast too in connection to religious and spiritual purposes. But Dr. Narte, you'll notice these studies do not speak in absolute terms about the benefits of fasting. So we would like your help with this. For those people looking to protect against cell damage caused by aging or harsh environmental conditions, or even invasive medical procedures and pharmaceuticals, can you please share how the simple process of denying the body food and most beverages could actually improve our health?
Well, thank you very much. Fasting has been going on in different religions and in different lifestyles for thousands of years, okay? So fasting is not something that is new. What is new is the science behind fasting. This is what is new. Many people fast for religious reasons, okay? We have Muslims who fast because there is a provision in the Muslim faith that they should fast for 30 days during Ramadan. So they are fasting just because they have to fast. But what is the scientific reason for fasting? This is what many people don't know. The Roman Catholic Church, they are fasting is a requirement under certain circumstances. You know, there are other churches, there are other faiths also that require fasting. But what is the scientific reason for fasting? The bishop does not know. The pastor does not know. The pope does not know. So now, let us go to science and find out why fasting is important. One, it is important because the digestive system of the human body causes too many problems. There are advantages and disadvantages. The advantage is that when we eat food, we supply nutrients to our cells. Sometimes we supply poisons also to our cells. But basically, this is what nutrition does. It helps the digestive system to start working. But what happens when digestion is in full swing? Many cells break down. When cells break down, what happens? You have calculus that is released. You have uric acid that is released. You have gout that is released. You have lithiasis that is released. You have tophus that is released. So how many times do you eat in one day? Okay. Most people eat 3 times a day. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad of the Muslim faith recommended that 1 meal a day is good enough. That is true. I subscribe to that principle also. But here is a question. 1 meal a day. Which food will constitute a meal? He did not say that. So it is up to science now to recommend foods that should be eaten. The digestive system will make the body, the cells, to break down very fast. This is the downside of digestion. So on the one hand, you have to eat. But if you eat, you cause so many problems, there will be so many blockages that eating is not good. So what do you do? All right, don't eat. If you don't eat, you starve to death. So what should you do? This is why the scientific approach is the best. Stay right in the middle. Stay at the center, right in the middle of the road. Use science to find the foods that have fewer poisons, fewer toxic alkaloids, fewer toxic acids, and eat these foods 3 times a week, 4 times a week, 5 times a week, or once a week. This allows the digestive system to slow down a little bit. Then fasting is very important because it helps our pancreas, the only organ in the human body that produces sodium bicarbonate, the only one, the only one that recycles DNA is our pancreas. If you have pancreatic cancer, I'm assuring you right now, no amount of fasting will help you. None. If you damage your pancreas, no amount of fasting will help you regulate blood sugar very well. You may succeed in lowering your blood sugar once in a while, but that will not be good enough because the pancreas works with the adrenal gland and with the liver to regulate blood glucose. So even though your blood glucose is a bit all right because you fasted for 12 hours, that is not good enough. So don't damage your pancreas. So fasting is very important because it gives the pancreas rest. If you are stubborn, many people are stubborn. If you are stubborn, all right. We have something called the hypothalamus. It's in our brain. Balances of the human body. It's called the hypothalamus. If you are stubborn, this is what the hypothalamus will do. It will shut down your pancreas. It will shut down your stomach. It will shut down your liver. It will shut down your gallbladder. And as a result, you will not have appetite to eat. Don't you know people who are very healthy, but sometimes they don't have appetite? They don't have appetite for breakfast. They don't have appetite for dinner. They don't have appetite for lunch. That is the work of the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is shutting organs down so that you are forced to stop eating. You are forced to stop it. That's a natural fast enforced by the hypothalamus. Therefore, fasting is very, very, very important. Don't just fast because your faith wants you to fast. No, 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 no. We have passed that stage. Fast because you understand what is happening to your body and why fasting is very, very important. To rest. For the stomach to rest. And after they've rested for 12 hours or 15 hours, the quality of the enzymes they will start producing will be the highest and the best. This is why it is important to fast. Those people who are nibblers, who have to eat food every hour, every 2 hours, or even in the middle of the night, they have to wake up and go to the fridge and see what is there to eat. And you see, those people are very sick. They should call symptomatry for help right away. They are very sick. Their hypothalamus is massively congested. Their hypothalamus is massively congested. And if they don't do something about it, sooner or later, their organs will start breaking down. So that is the introduction as far as fasting is concerned. Thank you.
Holy cow, Dr. Narte. I'm going to have to listen to the replay at rootcauseradio.com just to catch all the nuggets you dropped in that one response. You've over-delivered already, but a few things, and ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to the replay as well at rootcauseradio.com, but a few points that you mentioned. One, working backwards, people who are nibblers, constantly snacking throughout the day versus eating actual meals and setting aside time for that. That is a huge red flag that your hypothalamus is massively congested, which will lead to many more problems later. And you also mentioned that it is best to fast before you have issues with your pancreas, especially pancreatic cancer, because since the pancreas repairs DNA, once that organ is malfunctioning, then fasting does not help reboot that specific organ. But in general, 12 to 15 hours between meals will create an incredible, will have our enzymes being produced be at top quality. Did I get that right, Dr. Narte?
That is correct. Well summarized. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Wow. Well, listen, let's dive a little deeper in here, because after we break the fast, right, now we have to deal with food. Your book, The Downside of Nutrition, Part 1, goes into great detail about all the healthy foods, quote-unquote healthy foods, that actually lay the groundwork for future disease, right, especially if they're eaten too often. Would you say that these hidden dangers in our food and the benefits of fasting that you just described are also why humans will sometimes avoid meals, instinctively avoid meals when sick? Some animals do it too, but of course we're talking about humans here. Dr. Narte?
Yes. You see, I always follow the dictates of my body. My intuition is very, very strong. And my first thought always sends me guidance and clues. If I don't feel like eating, I don't force myself to eat. Many parents have a very, very, very bad habit. Many parents have a very bad habit. They are so regimental in their homes. It is 8 o'clock, time for breakfast. What if I'm not hungry? It's 8 o'clock, time for breakfast. It's noon, time for lunch. It's 8 p.m., time for dinner. Why are you so strict? Why are you so inflexible? Leave the food on the table, or let people know that if they are hungry, food is here, food is there, and the water is here and all that, the microwave is here, give me your food and all that before eating. That is how it should be. But don't say it is 7 o'clock, time for breakfast. There is 8 or 10, 10 noon, time for lunch, 8 p.m., time for dinner. Stop that, please. Stop it. Listen to the hypothalamus. The hypothalamus is what makes you feel hungry. Sometimes you eat too much sugar for breakfast. The hypothalamus has signaled the liver, it has signaled the pancreas, it has signaled the adrenal gland that you need more time to process the sugar that this boy has eaten. So instead of spending 4 hours, add 2 more hours. So by 2 more hours, it's 2 p.m. It's past noon. It's 2 p.m. All right? That is the time the boy or the girl will feel hungry. That is the time that she goes to mom or dad. Where is my lunch? Okay, your lunch is here. Are you ready to eat now? All right, here is your lunch. It's 2 o'clock. Not noon. It's 2 o'clock. That's how you do it. You respect the person's natural instincts guided by the hypothalamus. So if you don't feel hungry, don't eat. If you feel hungry, go and eat. Don't delay. Don't delay. Oh, I will eat later. No, 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 no. You are hungry, go and eat. Don't say, oh, I have to finish this homework. Oh, I have to finish this project. That is wrong. That is wrong. The signal has been sent. Go and eat. That is how things should be done. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. So let's dive a little bit deeper into this, Dr. Narte, if you don't mind, because I think a major nugget that you just mentioned was that when your desire for food and meals is too far off of your normal pattern of eating, then that's actually your body giving you clues, more than likely that it's still processing something that you ate earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That you had earlier. Okay, so that's something important for parents and caregivers to pay attention to, you know, with the one that they're providing meals for. Instead of insisting at specific meal times for every meal or every snack, pay attention to the patterns, but make sure that food and, of course, the ideal options for food are available to the individual. How would you help out the person then, Dr. Narte? Because just me as an adult, like if I have my niece and nephew with me and they're supposed to be at camp at 8 or at 9 a.m., so, you know, we have to have breakfast, or, you know, it's best to have breakfast before they get to camp since lunch isn't till 12. In the situations like that, when you're dealing with young children or people who can't yet care for themselves or who would be in a predicament if they got hungry or their body gave them cues that they were hungry, but they were now in a situation when food was no longer around, how do you help parents or caregivers who've noticed that pattern of erratic eating? What can they do before they get to a symptometrist to help correct that?
Okay. It is very, very simple. Pack breakfast or pack a snack for the child. Because if you force the child to eat, if you don't take care, on your way to the camp, the child will vomit in the car. The child will vomit in the car. And you have a lot of work to do to clean up that mess. Here is your snack. In case you are hungry, please eat it. But the rest who can eat now, let us eat. And then as far as Joseph is concerned or Peter is concerned, here is your snack. Let's go. That's how you do it. Never force a child to eat. Don't, because if you are in the habit of forcing the child to eat or the person to eat at the wrong time, well, the hypothalamus will be confused. And if the hypothalamus is confused, you will be the loser, because you have seasickness. You develop seasickness. You develop motion sickness, train sickness, air sickness, and this will be with you. I've had many people who suffer from seasickness, so they cannot, I have this cruise coming, but I cannot go because of seasickness. Well, they call symptometry. We ionize their hypothalamus for them, and they go to the Bahamas and they come back. They don't feel nauseous, no nothing. They did not throw up on the ship, on the cruise ship. Nothing. Started by whom? By their parents, who made them eat at the wrong time. And now the body is rebelling. Luckily enough, we have symptometry. We'll ionize the hypothalamus and everything will be fine. So that, as far as camp is concerned, as far as I have to do this, or I have to be at work at 4 o'clock, and therefore I have to be at work at 1:30. Let us have lunch now, so that I can go to work. Well, things don't work that way. It's you who are too rigid. You must be flexible. Be flexible, and what you do for your child now, you will not regret later. So that's my best recommendation under these circumstances. Thank you.
Okay, well, I definitely appreciate that, Dr. Narce. So meal prep is to the advantage. Keep a container, keep a snack, keep a lunch bag with you with the items in it, just so that you can honor and pay attention to what your child, or even the person you're caring for who can't care for themselves, what their body is communicating, and still do what you need to do. Thank you, for answering that, because I know a lot of people are faced with that challenge. Thank you for taking that extra couple of minutes to dive into that there. Now, just to follow up, there are some people, when we're talking specifically about fasting, there are some people who still advocate for an absolute fast, right? They're saying it's maximum discipline for no food, no beverages, not even water. And so common or public wisdom is that, well, no food and no water is okay, but if you're going to do that for more than 4 days, then check your health with your primary care physician. Symptometry, however, does not recommend the absolute fast, even if a general physician approves it. In fact, your book, What to Consume, even goes a step further into highlighting the different types of water, the best types of water that promote healthy longevity. So water is pretty critical. Why does Root Cause Therapeutics emphasize the consumption of water even while fasting, Dr. Narce?
Well, the truth is, even if your physician clears you for a fast, don't buy it. Don't buy it. You call symptometry to clear you for a fast. And if you call symptometry, we will not clear you for a fast if you have certain diseases. If you suffer from cardiomyopathy, symptometry will not clear you for a fast. If you suffer from cancer, any type of cancer of the breast, cancer of the esophagus, cancer of this, you will not be cleared for a fast. Therefore, please, giving clearance for fasting, it does not always work. You have to know what conditions you have. If you are very, very sick, don't go for a fast. If you are very sick, your hypothalamus will shut down your glands and you go for a natural fast. That is better. But don't make up your mind to fast because you want to clear certain diseases. Absolute fast is complete nonsense. Fasting where you are denying yourself nourishment. In addition to that, you are denying them water. Well, I am sorry. You do not know anything about the human body. You know nothing. The Pope is sick. The Pope before this one had to relinquish office because he was so sick he could not carry his responsibilities. Absolute fast is not good. Pastors are sick. Bishops are sick because of the absolute fast. Well, don't compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Who are you? Don't compare yourself to Jesus Christ. Do you know the preparations Jesus Christ made before he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights? Do you know? You don't know. You don't know. There are certain preparations you must make for glucose regulation, proper glucose regulation before you start your fast. There are certain preparations you must make. Let me give you one hint right now. If you want to fast for more than 12 hours, you want to fast for 2 days or 3 days, fine. But make sure you have bell pepper. Don't buy any other type of pepper. Buy bell pepper. Buy the green one. You see, typical human beings, you are going to buy the yellow one. You are going to buy the red one. No, buy the green one. Okay. Why? Because in the green one, green bell pepper, you have chromium, you have zinc, and you have manganese. In the right ratio to help your pancreas, your adrenal gland, and your liver to keep regulating blood glucose whilst you are fasting with water, by taking only water during the fast. That is how you prepare for the fast. So that after the fast, your heart will not be enlarged. You will not suffer from heart murmur. You will not have varicose veins. You will not have spider veins. You will not hear your heart beat. You will not hear your heart beat. Many people are hearing, you are not supposed to hear your heart beat. So you have to fast scientifically. So when Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, you are not privy to the preparations he made before he made that fast. My mother was a pastor of the Apostolic Church, and she used to fast. By then, I had not studied scientific fasting, so I didn't know. And when she passed, the pathologist told us that, my God, he had been doing this work for more than 25 years. He had never seen a heart that enlarged like your mom's heart. Yes. You have to, if you want to fast, fast scientifically. Get bell pepper. How much does bell pepper cost? $1? 75 cents? How much does bell pepper cost? Warning, warning, warning. Don't go and buy bell pepper from the supermarket. You will not eat bell pepper alone. You eat wax. Those bell peppers have been waxed. And you'll be sicker after eating these bell peppers. If you want to buy bell pepper, go to the farmer's market. Go to those who sell organic bell pepper and get the right ones, the green ones. That is what you slide, You slice them, remove the seeds, slice them. That is the only vegetable I recommend to eat raw. If you want to eat bell pepper, especially before a fast, eat it raw. That's the only one. Usually I don't recommend eating items raw, but green bell pepper before a fast, so that you are healthy, you don't develop heart problem, you don't develop varicose veins and spider veins and all these problems, or hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids. Oh, my God. It's very common among people who have been fasting for over a long period of time. So prevent all this by fasting scientifically. No absolute fast. I always recommend the water fast. Drink water when you are fasting, because as the cells are decompressing, the food preservatives, the food colorings, and the food additives are coming out of the cells. And you need oxygen from water to oxidize that and wash it away and into the kidneys, so that the kidneys turns them into urine for elimination. So you need oxygen from water. So if you are denying your body water, you will not have molecular oxygen for oxidation. So that is my best advice to you. Thank you.
Okay, thanks so much, Dr. Narte. I know this is typically the time we're wrapping up the show, but our mobile club is lighting up with people sending in questions and follow-up questions and saying thank you and wow, this is eye-opening. So we'll try and get through as many of those comments and questions as we can, but I want to thank you because the feedback is really incredible right now. So just to recap, again, an absolute fast, so a fast where there is no food and no beverages, including water, is not only not recommended, it's actually doing more damage to your health, right? The denial of water is doing more damage to your health because the body is now then missing the molecular oxygen it needs to move those impurities that are coming out of the cells to move them out of the body. So when you fast, still consume water. Do not go more than 24 hours without drinking water, and make sure you drink when you are thirsty. So water is critical even while fasting. That's clear. Thank you so much, Dr. Narte. There's also a follow-up. We have quite a few people who just completed Ramadan, as you know, and you mentioned this actually a few minutes ago at the beginning of the show, so which is typically 14 to 16 hours of fasting per day. And so with that period, that length of time without food is not only safe and sufficient, but you also mentioned that it matches up with the peak amount of time, because you mentioned after 12 to 15 hours of no food, now the new enzymes that the body is producing are actually premium top quality. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, excellent. And I'm just going through all of these questions and comments here. Also, you mentioned specifically the illness a person is trying to overcome, and even their health history has a huge impact on whether long-term fasting would even be recommended for them, if they can be a candidate for that. So long-term fasting, so more than a day of fasting, would you say? Because you said there were some people with, you know, any kind of cancers, cardiomyopathy, a couple other illnesses like that you mentioned, should not fast, right?
That is correct. They should not fast. They should wait until they have progressed in their health restoration or in their treatment, until they have progressed significantly. Then they can fast for 6 hours. Then after that, 12 hours. But I would not recommend 24 hours or 2 days or 3 days fast for those who are recovering from their debilitating diseases. Okay, I would not recommend that. You see, and what matters, we have before the fast, what you must eat before the fast. Then after the fast, make sure you eat navy beans. If you can have navy beans, and you can grind it so that you have a puree of navy beans, so that you can just eat it instead of chewing it, but just eat it. Don't forget that, you know, you just finished fasting. So don't use too much amylase from your saliva. So you can use just half of it by, you know, grinding your navy beans, you know, turn it into a paste. Turn it to a paste and then enjoy it with basmati, some basmati rice, because you are going to have the amino acid called methionine from basmati long grain white rice. You are going to have lysine from the small navy beans. For those who have herpes or something like this, the lysine is going to help a lot immediately after the fast. Then you eat this combination that helps a lot with ulcers, bed sores, herpes, ulcer on the cornea, and all kinds of ulcerations. You know, many people suffer from ulcerative colitis. You know, ulcers in the colon that is inflamed. If you fast scientifically, then after fasting scientifically, you eat this food combination, you see how fasting and the food combination will help you to heal. So this is what is meant by scientific fasting. You have to know why you are fasting and how you start the fast and how you end the fast. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you so much for that, Dr. Narte. Listen, when that book on scientific fasting comes out, whether it's a book, ebook, whatever, I will be the first to buy it. We've already had a couple of comments here in the chat, like, where can I get the book? So thank you for pouring out now right on the radio show and sharing this information with our listeners. And, you know, we're excited to keep having information updated for people at rootcauseradio.com, and I know that there's quite a bit of information on your website, symptometry.com as well. Okay, so it's strategically important what we consume before the fast. You mentioned the green bell pepper, as well as after the fast. So we will listen to the replay to get that specific combination, and then we can put that on on the website and on the Facebook page for people to take advantage of that as well until the book comes out. So thank you for sharing that information with the public. The last question that I have here, Dr. Narte, is from one of our loyal listeners. So she mentions that a lot of people, especially since it's legal now, are using, marijuana, that's what it is. They're using marijuana to help self-medicate themselves, and she mentions that a common, I'm trying to reread her question, she's basically asking, how does marijuana affect the hypothalamus, being that so many people who consume it, especially when they smoke it, have an incredible desire to snack and eat afterwards. Dr. Narte, are you comfortable touching on that, or should we save that for another show?
No. It's up to you. If you have a moment, that is fine. You see, what many people do not know about the THC in marijuana, what many people do not know is, well, as I said, this planet Earth, we have positives and negatives, okay? The THC in marijuana helps to alleviate certain symptoms, okay? But whilst it is alleviating some symptoms, it is causing congestion in the hypothalamus. it is causing congestion in the hypothalamus. So if the hypothalamus is congested, it will not be able to regulate your appetite very well. So if it's not able to regulate your appetite very well, you end up eating when you are not supposed to eat. When your digestive system is supposed to rest, you are eating. And then when you are not supposed to drink water, you are drinking water. So what have you done to your hypothalamus? You have set your hypothalamus on a crashing course. Your body is going to crash slowly but surely. Now, if you take hemp oil, if you take hemp oil, that is excellent because it is going to slow down the damage you are doing to the hypothalamus. So, on the one hand, one part of the of hemp is good. On the other hand, one part of hemp is bad. So, which part of hemp will you prefer? So, some people prefer hemp oil, and they leave smoking marijuana alone. They don't touch it. They don't touch the smoking part, but they take the hemp oil. Well, I commend them for that because they have been smart in choosing hemp oil over smoking marijuana. Smoking marijuana is not a cure for anything. Hemp oil rather helps because of the carbon content. It helps a lot to heal. So we have wheat germ oil, number one. After my test in the chromatographic laboratory, wheat germ oil is topmost. I put it as number one. Hemp oil is number two. So here is my question. If you are going for the best, why don't you go for wheat germ oil? Why do you go for hemp oil? So as far as hemp is concerned, marijuana is concerned, it has its pluses and minuses. Smoking marijuana will cause congestion in the hypothalamus, the only group of cells that help to provide checks and balances in the human body. And you are causing congestion in it. There will be a price to pay in the long run. Thank you.
Okay. Well, understood, and I know that is a really growing field. There's some talk about developing hemp oils without THC and all these other new revelations. So I really appreciate you sharing the nugget that, you know, what the science says is that wheat germ oil is actually an even better option for people looking to, you know, manage their symptoms on their own. However, you made it clear that not wheat germ oil, not hemp oil, not marijuana is actually curing the condition. These are all only things that manage the symptoms for the individual. So thank you so much for making that clear, Dr. Narte. Thank you to all of our listeners who have been commenting and interacting with us throughout the show. I know we shared a lot of information tonight, so again, the replay, the broadcast is at rootcauseradio.com. If you want any of the books mentioned, The Downside of Nutrition, or What to Consume, those can also be accessed through the information at rootcauseradio.com, or you can have it shipped directly to you from amazon.com. I know a lot of people have a free account there for that. As we close up tonight's radio show, Dr. Narte, I want to thank you for sharing. We did get a question about what should a person be doing before the fast or after the fast to get the most health benefits from the experience, but you actually shared that already. So I want to thank our caller in Iowa for sending in that question, but you were on the ball. You were already in motion in sharing that information. So I think we've covered everything tonight. If you don't have if there are any other nuggets that you want to leave our listeners with, I'll certainly turn the mic over to you so that you can do that now.
Oh, well, my parting comment is rely on science for the best information. you know, for many, many years, we did not have a go-to center, as far as health is concerned. There was none. Okay, now you have symptometry, and we have a lot of hardcore science backing all the research. So it's not only something that we promote for symptometry. You know, I just told you about hemp oil, okay? If the science is behind it, I will tell you that, yes, the science is behind it, you know? And I am not promoting vegetables. I'm not selling vegetables, but I use the science to tell you that bell pepper, kind of bell pepper you must have, and the kind of beans. I did not say black beans. I said the small navy beans, and so on and so forth. We use science, and we are impartial in our recommendations. Thank you very much.
Well, you are welcome, Dr. Narte. Thank you for joining us tonight with the work that Symptometry has done and continues to do, adding a symptometrist and taking advantage of the information for root cause therapeutics is a great way to really get more mileage out of those diagnostic tests and annual physicals we get at the doctor's office, and so we can be more proactive about our health and then even take advantage of the courses, the online courses at the American School of Symptometry to master the knowledge at a personal level so we're able to help not only ourselves but even those in our family or those in our community. Thank you so much for pouring out on tonight's podcast, Dr. Narte. To our loyal listeners, we appreciate you for joining us. To our new listeners, we're so glad you came. Please do not make this the last time you join us. Root Cause Radio is live every single Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, sharing the secrets of optimal health. Thank you for joining us, and have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Root Cause Radio, sharing the secrets of optimal health.